Good afternoon, Lindy Owen from Los Osos, 21-year resident, and following this for a good 9 years now. I wanted to say first, the reason we're before you in building a wastewater plant is because of nitrates. Well, I beg you to look at the comparison of our nitrate. We're 0.5 milligrams in most places over drinking standards. So the crisis is not quite the crisis that it was made out to be long ago. Saltwater intrusion is a crisis, and we need to be building a sewer plant wastewater treatment based on those kinds of issues. As far as the survey went, it was definitely slanted, but I'll say one thing that came out, rang clear throughout that survey, was that people are mostly concerned about the cost of a sewer. So when I look at the county process, which eliminated the more affordable sewer, the step collection, and the ponding system type treatment, I am very upset, and I think you should be asking what is being done to put in an affordable way of improving the water and keeping nitrates and seawater intrusion under control. So I ask that you really consider balancing the basin. I'm going to put forward something that is totally radical, and I'm asking for a waiver. I'm asking for a waiver on 2/3 of the septic tanks in Los Osos, and that you institute 8313 that was never instituted, and you give us a septic tank management program. Right now, you have probably 1/3 of those septic tanks are in close proximity to the groundwater. The rest are not. They're actually functioning, and we could start with a step collection system, which is the pressurized pipe or a vacuum system, which will come out in the battle with the county and their wish to have a big gravity leaky system. I think we'll come out with something a little bit better. But I beg you to consider, for affordability purposes, Dana Ripley has a plan that was presented. He tried to do stage one, stage two. Stage one would be to collect all the low-lying areas, get them under pressurized systems, and then come back and get them treated and come back and do the 2/3 later. Thank you
for your comments. Piper Riley, and the last speaker is Ben DeFata.
Good afternoon. I'm Piper Riley from Los Osos. Over the years, the county has allowed large houses to be built on small plots in low-lying areas. That, accompanied with the fact that they allowed 1,100 houses to be built during a moratorium, really has degraded our water supply, and it is their responsibility to fix it. Saltwater intrusion is a much bigger issue than nitrates. Nitrates can easily be solved. This is also a basin-wide problem. This is not a prohibition zone problem. And conservation is incredibly vital. The state is mandating 20%, and we should definitely be striving for that. Conservation right now is only for the prohibition zone, which doesn't make very much sense. When that survey was sent out, they could have asked questions: do you have low-flow toilets? Do you have front-loading washers? No information was gathered. Therefore, there is no baseline to go on, and that is a common thread throughout this entire CEQA issue. We don't know really anything about what's going on. Getting to Brodersen, they don't know what the perk rate's going to be. There could be liquefaction going on. We have more than 500 homes up there. There has been flooding before. There has been upwelling. This should not be a guinea pig project to see if we slide down like La Conchita. Also putting water in there, you're reintroducing endocrine disruptors, which the EPA and the PTA do not think is very healthy for our children or human beings in general. Also putting off purple pipe and reuse to a later date, we have seen this takes decades to do anything around here. If you put it off, it'll never happen. The retrofit ordinance, as said before, has not been done properly. We have complained to the county over and over again. It still has not been fixed. I do have other public comment, but I will submit that later. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments. Last speaker, Ben DeFata.
Ben DeFata, good to be here, I think. When Rome was burning, Nero was sitting on a pot being fed to a gravity system. And here we are today with new alternatives, and the staff has never hardly looked at it. Here you have air vac. If there's any leakage, it just sucks in air and the matter and sand. Why do we not look at air vac here? And the sludge, 3 or 4 trucks a day hauling sludge. Nobody wants sludge anymore. Plus, it's expensive. Forgive my sore throat. Thank you, Dr. Hunter. You have very good questions. And we went from 11 acres at the Tri-W site to 643 acres. You know, what's going on here? The people got rid of the Tri-W. It was in the wrong place. It was too expensive, and it was unaffordable. I like to say that I'm speaking for the 3,000 homeowners that would be forced out of Los Osos because they cannot afford $250 to $300, maybe more, a month. Here with the EcoFluid treatment plant and the Gorby site, 51 acres of the Gorby site, out of mind, under $100 a month. Now, are these people crazy or am I crazy? I'm sorry. Thank you, I think.
Thank you for your comments. Okay, that was the last speaker. Any board questions or comments? Okay.
I was waiting. I do have a comment.
Go ahead.
So the question I have is, do we have any way to encourage the county to hold off in moving forward on the project design that they have, that staff is recommending, and encourage them to allow for the purveyor research or exploration of the safe yield and some of the other potential approaches to balancing the basin that this group is pursuing. And as Rob said, that information could help to give the county a better perspective on some of their projections for mitigation and achieving conservation. And it just seems to me that it's frustrating to hear that maybe within a few months we could have information that would resolve some of the discrepancies in the numbers, which are causing a great deal of concern. By the, you saw the number of letters in the comment in the final EIR addressing seawater intrusion and exporting of water out of the basin. So I'm wondering if we have any way to allow for that timing to be synced up a little better. I know the county is under pressure from action that needs to occur due to our actions. So what can we do about that?
Mr. Briggs or Ms. McChesney, any?
Well, one thing is that while Rob Miller was talking about the report being available in June, I think, where is Rob?
Yeah.
Oh, so maybe Pavo and John can help me out here, but I think what he was saying is that the report is in some state of preparation at this point. The county is a part of that process, so my guess is that you're going to have a pretty good idea about any significant conflicts that would affect the direction of the project before it's actually available in June.
Pavel Ogren again. Yes, that would be correct. We are, you know, again, part of the ISJ with them. The county is funding 20% of the studies, and we're actively involved. And consequently, you know, we're going to see the information the same time that they do. And again, just like any new evidence, it's going to, you know, create the question as to, you know, what's the meaning of the evidence and what does it mean in terms of our overall work efforts. And so.
And you're, I think you're behind your preferred schedule in terms of the project at this point?
Yeah. I think we're probably substantially, you know, close to where we thought we were going to be, but we are. 2009 was the year that we had targeted for completing the environmental review work and getting going on design. Utilizing the design build process is certainly being done concurrently, so you know, we're close to being on schedule with where we had originally projected. Now that we're moving away from our work efforts and into the formal hearing processes, then, you know, it's the needs of the resource agencies, the permitting agencies, that are really going to be driving the schedule from here on out.
That's mainly what I was referring to, in that you've gone before the Planning Commission. My understanding is you're still before the Planning Commission.
Yes. We're, you know, May 28th is the next hearing for the Planning Commission. I would anticipate that we're going to be in front of the Planning Commission for at least a couple more meetings. If history repeats itself, the coastal development permit will be appealed to the Board of Supervisors. So we're going to be in front of the Board of Supervisors, you know, at least for a little while. I would imagine then that Rob's estimate of June is going to be before we would be back in front of your board and before its formal submittals of any, you know, requests for waste discharge requirements to your staff. So,
well, it sounds like you're also saying that the information is going to be available before the Board of Supervisors actually makes a decision on the project.
I would anticipate it's going to be pretty darn close timing, yeah. And well, May 28th, June, yeah, it should be there before we're going to get in front of the board.
Not just, I'm not saying the Planning Commission, but the Board of Supervisors.
Correct.
Right. So there may not be, it sounds like there's not going to be a mismatch in terms of being able to see if there's, like I say, some significant information that would cause you to drastically change your project. And if there is, then I assume you'd make the appropriate recommendation of the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah, and I think that Rob Miller stated it best in terms of he recognized that the water management efforts are, you know, slightly behind the wastewater project efforts, but they're not, you know, drastically behind so that the information can't be considered. It can be considered. You know, the overall, when you think about the complexity of the situation, the schedules of the various efforts are working out relatively well together.
I think, thank you, Mr. Ogren, and that really helps. But I think what I'd really be happy to hear is that, yes, you will consider those numbers, and you will make sure that those numbers come into play before you go to the Board of Supervisors with a final set of decisions.
That's not even a discretionary issue at all. I mean, again, when any new evidence comes in front of us, we have to consider it when we're in a CEQA process. So, you know, there's no question about that.
I think what Dr. you were saying, if you have the information, I think what Dr. Hunter is saying is that you should be sure that you have that information before asking the Board of Supervisors to make a final decision. I'm interpreting.
Well, I've certainly been encouraging.
I'm interpreting.
Yeah,
yes.
And I've
That's
been
what I'm after.
And I've been encouraging the purveyors to keep pace with us all along, so I'm glad that they're, you know, relatively close to doing so.
And question for you. Why isn't there a greater effort at water conservation right now in terms of the amount of savings that can be, you know, had? And there's a lot of comments that more could be done now.
In terms of the requirements of the wastewater project itself?
Well, and the things connected to it, the other requirements that are attached to it.
Well, again, there's a couple different ways to answer that question, and I think all of the points are important. With respect to the other related efforts, certainly there's a lot of different organizations. So the county, through the planning department and through land use ordinances, has adopted the retrofit on sale requirements. There has been some questions, you know, from the community as to, you know, is it enough? But the fact is that that ordinance is in place, and it requires individuals not just to retrofit on sale. There's also the requirements to retrofit other properties if there is somebody who's going to build a home, you know, outside of the prohibition zone. And so there's a second ordinance in the land use side of things as well. The purveyors had indicated that they have been doing some stuff. One is increasing water rates recently. I know the LOCSD also went through and replaced a lot of the laterals that were polybutylene. Those were the, you know, the laterals that have had a lot of historical problems with leakage. So they've been doing those, and that helps to that's not a conservation, but it's still, if you get rid of your system leaks or minimize your system leaks, then you can reduce pumping. With respect to the wastewater project efforts itself, it's very important to recognize that when we charge costs to a wastewater project for something like water conservation, we need to have that nexus in there. We need to have the nexus in order to create the mitigation, because otherwise we're going to be charging wastewater customers for something that water purveyors should be paying for. We have to make sure to maintain that nexus relationship on the mitigation. Rob Miller, the Wallace Group, is also working on the project's conservation plan, and that's where he had expressed the the issue that we think, you know, 160 acre feet is good. The goal is probably about double that. But again, in terms of the wastewater project, it's important that we maintain a nexus to the mitigation issues. Otherwise, we would run into challenges of charging costs to wastewater customers that really aren't allocable under the California state laws.
You know, I would just like to encourage you to think about how you're going to be able to reuse as much of this water as possible in the basin. I mean, you know, a lot of people are very concerned about that. And it's your project. We have very little leverage with you in that. We can just recommend and encourage. And, I mean, it's an issue important to a lot of people. And perhaps if you were going to reuse, reclaim more now, you might get more people on board. And if you had a more aggressive plan laid out to bring their water back in the basin, that would make this more palatable.
And you know, I think there's also one of the challenges here is a perception issue, the perception that, you know, we're not doing everything that we can or should be doing. We know that the basin itself with the aquitards, that means there's physical constraints. You know, we also know that in California, just like your board has certain authority but doesn't have certain authority, that holds true for local agencies as well. And one of the most important points, I guess, that I can emphasize that the county very much is engaged and is, active in promoting the best solutions here for Los Osos, is that the ISJ itself is a part of groundwater litigation. Somebody had mentioned that it's a voluntary and you can back out of it.
Right.
Well, the fact is that that's a stipulation that the parties have agreed to under the groundwater litigation. That stipulation can get reversed, but the parties, that doesn't mean that they can walk away from the groundwater litigation, right? So that ISJ is the first step in the cooperative efforts to resolving the groundwater litigation. We can say, hey, we want to take a different approach to that ISJ, but we can't walk away from the litigation itself. At least the purveyors can't. Now, the county, in our evaluation of that litigation, we very much believed that had we wanted to, we could have walked away because the county has one well in the community, and that's to pump at the park. And there's two different approaches to stipulating to the judge that we wanted out of the litigation. One approach would have been to say simply that the pumping of the well at the park is insignificant, that is not a significant pump. The other thing is just to shut down that well and to turn to the purveyors, okay, we want to be a water customer. The idea being is that not being a significant pumper in that basin, the county could have had grounds to seek dismissal. Our recommendations to the Board of Supervisors, however, was no, let's not get dismissed from that litigation because to the extent that we're a party to that litigation, because we can get into the closed-door hearings on that litigation, it maximizes our ability to align the water management strategies with the wastewater project strategies. And that's part of, you know, obviously the legal environment that we're working here in California. But in terms of being enthusiastic or wanting to make sure that we're coordinating with the water purveyors on best solutions overall for the community, I think that's the strongest evidence right there is that we did not seek to be dismissed from that litigation. Instead, we've maintained a voluntary participation in that litigation.
Okay. Thank you. Any other board comments or questions?
I would like to ask the board if we can consider following up our new understanding of where they are in their process, if we could send a letter to the Board of Supervisors encouraging them to consider or that they make sure that they take into account the ISJ study findings and that we ask them to do as much as they can with that information to achieve maximum conservation and to assure that the mitigation plan for maintaining balance in the groundwater basin is made possible through these through the safe yield study and some of the other information that the ISJ is developing at this point. And I think that would help to convey to the Board of Supervisors that we are really going to be watching how this project moves forward relative to those issues and seawater intrusion.
I have one.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, okay. My suggestion would be, wouldn't it be more appropriate to send that to the county?
I'm saying the Board of Supervisors. That's the county.
The county's Board of Supervisors.
I mean, is this for the Board of Supervisors hearing? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. This.
Okay. That's.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
They're the ones that certify the EIR and project design and so forth.
Sure.
Mr. O'Malley.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'm just concerned about over-specifying on detail of what to consider. It seems to me the issues are that I support, I'd like to see maximum attempt to look at basin recharge and to address saltwater intrusion. Those are the bigger concepts. Whichever study comes along in whatever time period or any other detail that's considered. So I would just suggest I could support a broader recommendation that the county seriously consider these items when it comes back to this board. Would that be sufficient rather than tying it to be sure to include a particular study or not?
Well, we know there is a study that's imminent.
And it sounds like it's going to be incorporated in any case because of the time frame.
Well, we hope it's going to be.
You don't believe it will be?
I'm just saying that we hope it is going to be, you know, finished, actually, before the Board of Supervisors.
Oh, finished. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I do understand, and Rob explained, that there will be, once the studies are completed, there's going to be a period of time of interpretation, and the ISJ process is going to need to work with those numbers. But the fact is that those will be the kind of platform on which all of the coordinating efforts will occur. So it seems to me that those are pivotal. That's going to provide a pivotal perspective that currently there's not a consensus. What is the rate of seawater intrusion? What is the safe yield of the basin? There is no set of numbers that everybody's going to be working from. Once that ISJ study is complete, those will be the numbers, and that is why I'm asking.
And why
for
will they be the numbers, not other numbers?
Because there are discrepancies over the last decade.
I understand, but why? How do we know that these numbers also won't be?
Oh, they likely will not be totally consistent, but I think everyone's investment and cooperation in producing these numbers is a buy-in, that these will then become the numbers, the factors on which the purveyors will make their decisions, and which the county is a party to that.
Yeah.
But why should the wastewater treatment project go forward without those numbers when they're so close to being able to incorporate them and assure that the conservation plan is going to work and that the mitigation rate is going to be appropriate?
And we know that this is coming out in June for sure.
Rob reported that. Rob reported that.
Yeah. Sometimes we wait years for reports to come out that were supposed to come out in June. Yeah, I mean, I think it's great to include it, but I'm concerned that we don't get into some sort of thing where we're holding the county up and then waiting and waiting and waiting for something that never shows up. So.
Well, and the letter is simply our encouragement and recommendations. I mean, the county has its time schedule, and we're not going to impede that.
Yeah, no, fine.
So
I could perhaps add, in case there is some kind of significant delay,
right,
if the ISJ report is coming out as advertised and is not subject to significant delay.
Yeah. Right. Okay. And last comment, Ms. Tacker had mentioned something. Francis wanted to ask you. It's more of a legal question. I don't believe we can condition our permit with any amount of requirement that reuse take place anywhere. Is that true?
That is true. But I'm going to research, when the time comes, I'll be providing you legal advice on your authority. So.
Okay. My question was whether, as a part of the waste discharge requirement permit that we're going to issue eventually, whether we can require a certain amount of reuse of water in the basin. The answer is no. We don't have the authority to do that. Okay, folks, that completes this agenda item. Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks very much, everyone.
Okay. With the board